We now bring to this microphone David James, and we're here for our weekly conversation. We're getting great response to this weekly conversation, some pro, some con. We love the pro, but we enjoy the con as well, because if you can come with a biblical basis upon which to argue against what we're saying, we want to reconsider, and we'll look at what you have to say. So keep responding to what you hear on this very important segment of Prophecy Today. This week, we catch up with David in Uganda in East Africa. He's teaching a course related to what we do right here every week on this broadcast, and that is discuss current theological issues that will face the body of Christ. David, welcome to the broadcast today from Uganda.
Well, thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, and I've been here almost a week now and have had a great time teaching 20 undergrad students of the National Theological College and Graduate School that meets on the Word of Life campus here in Uganda. And NTCGS also has programs in Egypt, Lebanon, and Jordan, and I think it's next week that they will be having their first graduation in Jordan, and they're expecting as many as 500 guests, which is an incredible thing in a Muslim-majority country. And all of the students here in Uganda are either in ministry or heading into ministry as pastors, church planners, missionaries, and ministry directors. And they're closing in on finishing up their bachelor's degrees with just four more modular courses to take before they graduate next summer. I taught some of these students Christology and soteriology when I was here in July. And this time around, as you said, I'm teaching current theological issues. And I normally teach this course in 10 hours, but this week I've had to expand it to over 40 classes. Hours, and some of the topics that I'm covering include the need for right doctrine, the process of discernment, near-death experiences, the LGBT agenda, understanding Islam, signs, wonders, and the charismatic movement, and the resurgence of Calvinism, to just name a few. So it's an incredible opportunity.
Oh, it is, and you have a fully packed agenda. That's what it sounds like. And I know you told me just before we started our conversation, you just finished one class about 10 minutes ago. We've got to squeeze our interview in, and then you've got to get back to teaching. Bless you, buddy. We'll be praying for you just to have strength, much less communicate, to stand up and be able to do that. We're praying for you. Well, you know, in the last few days, it's come to our attention that Jonathan Cahn has released his fifth major book. We'll get to that book at the end of the discussion. But before we do that, let's go back to January 2012, when, David, I think that you and I may have been the first ones to publicly express our concern about his first book, The Harbinger, which, by the way, went on to become the number one Christian book of that particular year.
Well, that's right. The Harbinger made its debut on January 2nd of 2012 when Pat Robertson first interviewed Jonathan Cahn on the 700 Club, and Robertson was just gushing over the book, and that was on a Tuesday, as I recall. And somehow this had come to the attention of your son, Jimmy Jr., and so on Wednesday of that week, he sent us a link to the interview, which had been put up on YouTube. And after you and I had watched the interview, we both immediately had concerns. And so on Thursday, we talked on the phone about discussing the issue on that weekend's broadcast. And so to prepare for that, I immediately went to Amazon.com and bought the Kindle version of the book. And by the next morning, believe it or not, I had finished reading it, and I was concerned with the book, not only because of its serious flaws, but because I was fairly certain that it would strike a chord with many American Christians, which we now know it did, because, as you said, it became the number one Christian book of 2012, selling over a million copies in just 12 months. And the bottom line is this: The Harbinger is a novel that Jonathan Cahn has said is 90% factual, and the premise is that a single verse in Isaiah, which was directed at the northern kingdom of Israel in the 8th century B.C., has been replaying on American soil, beginning with the terrorist attacks of 9/11/2001, of course, a horrible tragedy that we just remembered again as a country on Wednesday of this week. And this and other related passages, according to him, have been determining the geopolitical and economic situation in the United States and the world ever since.
Well, David, I know that you did hundreds of hours of research into the alleged biblical and historical facts that Jonathan Cahn claimed were behind the Harbinger. You found that most of Our initial concerns were not only well-founded, but there were many more serious errors in the book. What were some of the major ones that you discovered as you dug deeper?
Well, you're right. I poured a huge amount of time and effort into working all through all the assertions in the book, and someone might wonder why I spend so much time on a novel, a fictional work. But it was because of Jonathan Cahn's assertion that it was 90% based in fact. And so let's start with the premise that Isaiah 9:10 has been replaying on American soil since 9/11. Isaiah 9:10 says, "The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars." And this is God talking about the defiance of the northern kingdom in the face of God's imminent judgment through both the Assyrians and the Philistines. And there's nothing in the text that even hints that it could apply to any other situation or any other nation, even as a pattern. And the fact is, America is just not found in Scripture specifically as a nation. But Jonathan Cahn tries to make it sound as if America is some sort of second Israel when he cites the thinking of the earliest founders of America who believed that that was what they were establishing, a second Israel. And this is the subtext that undergirds his other books. I call it parallel theology as opposed to replacement theology. And amazingly, he completely ignores what is the perhaps the single most important messianic kingdom passage in the Old Testament in the preceding verses. And those verses say, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." And furthermore, Cahn's books are filled with many examples of mishandling Scripture, misrepresenting historical facts, manipulating data, and cherry-picking facts for support while leaving out information that undermines his theory. So this is a serious issue.
I know in the months that followed, David, the release of The Harbinger, many other voices joined ours in strongly criticizing the book. But as far as I know, you wrote the only book-length rebuttal, and others were actually citing your work in their own articles. I think it's an interesting story about how your book came out just 6 months after The Harbinger was published.
Well, after our first interview, I continued to watch how The Harbinger sales were trending, and as well as how reviews on Amazon.com were piling up and how it was climbing to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. Now, I was going to write about a 3-page review of the book, but as I started digging, it quickly became 6 pages and 10 pages and 20 pages. And while at the same time, the buzz around the book kept growing because of word of mouth and all the radio and television interviews that made Jonathan Cahn the most interviewed man in America in 2012 by some accounts. And in the meantime, my review kept getting longer and longer the more I researched, and by March, I was saying that this is going to be the theological issue of 2012. So now my article is up to 50 pages, then 80 pages, and I decided that it needed to become a book, and I'd never written a book before. And about that time, I published about a 16-page version on the ABI website and mentioned my plan to self-publish the book. Well, the director of the Berean Call, Tom McMahon, came across the article, gave me a call, and offered to carry my book in their online bookstore once it was done. And then he called me about 10 days later, actually offering to publish the book for me. And then over the next 10 weeks, I was researching and writing nonstop, and I was able to take the book from 80 to 220 pages with 3 theological readers, 3 editors, and 8 solid endorsements. And by God's grace, we had our first copy in hand in June. It was just an incredible thing that happened, and it actually really ignited a firestorm in the evangelical community. And before it was over, even both you and I and the Berean Call were being threatened with lawsuits. So it's really been an amazing story from the very beginning.
By the way, that book is still available, is it not, David? And can they purchase it on Amazon.com or at your website?
You can purchase it on Amazon.com or from the Berean Call.
Well, this is a great tool for those in the body of Christ who want to read a novel and try to get biblical doctrine from it. You don't do that. That's a wrong principle. David, I know in 2014, Jonathan Cahn released his second book, to which you also responded, which not only dealt with his book, but also responded to what I think we can call the Blood Moons fiasco.
That's right. In September of 2014, he had turned chapter 17 of The Harbinger, called The Mystery of the Shemitah, with the subtitle, The 3,000-Year-Old Mystery That Holds the Secret of America's Future, the World's Future, and Your Future. And Shemitah is a Hebrew word that means release, and it came to refer to the Jewish Sabbath year, because every seventh year the Israelites were to neither plant nor harvest. And on the last day of the year, the lenders were to release borrowers from their debts. And Jonathan Cahn believed he had found a mystery that was affecting American and world economy and world events. And then in 2014 and 2015, there was a series of four consecutive lunar eclipses that occurred on the Feast of Passover and Tabernacles in both years. And there was a book written by a Hebrew Roots pastor that said that these would be a fulfillment of Joel 2, Matthew 24, and Revelation 6 concerning the moon turning to blood and perhaps triggering the tribulation and fulfillment of uptime prophecy. Then John Hagee heard about this from Mark Bilks, and both of them wrote books about it, with Hagee's becoming a bestseller, and then he also produced a movie that had a limited run in a lot of theaters. And when Jonathan Cahn picked up on it, he tied things to it in his Shemitah book, and so I responded, and I believe I debunked everything in the book, and here we are 4 years later, and nothing has happened that they said would happen.
And by the way, those books are still in the boxes in the warehouses of these guys who wrote them, because it ended up being not true. Well, as we wrap it up for today, David, what can you tell us about Cahn's new book, The Oracle? And by the way, just a few days ago when we were planning today's broadcast, we were thinking that the book would not be released by airtime, but apparently it has been. So have you had a chance yet to read this book?
Well, the release caught me off guard, because from everything I'd read, it looked like it was still a couple of weeks out and the hype was already building. But I actually downloaded at 4:30 this morning from Amazon, but because I have over 4 hours of classes to teach today, I wasn't able to get through it completely yet, but I did read over a quarter of it already. In Charisma Magazine, Jonathan Cahn wrote an article, and the second paragraph reads as follows. Is it possible that the events unfolding in the world right now are following the exact parameters of a 3,000-year-old mystery? Is it possible that this mystery has determined the past, the present, and will determine the future? Could this mystery have even ordained the outcome of American elections and the secret of a modern American president, meaning President Trump? Since I haven't finished the book yet, I'm withholding judgment. I have to admit that he's made some interesting observations so far, but after all I've seen over the past 7 years, you could call me a confirmed skeptic. And so unless something else important comes up, it might be a good idea for us to deal with the book next week after I've had time to finish it.
Well, I think that's a great idea, David. And of course, with your teaching schedule, that is even going to be difficult. But dear friends, we wanted to give you a basis upon which you could accept this book, The Oracle, by Jonathan Cahn, or consider maybe that would be a waste of time. We'll get in more in depth as David digs into the book, has an opportunity to read it. David, we'll be praying for you as you do all of the research on the topics we discuss. And of course, your teaching load pretty heavy at this time. So we'll be praying you'll have enough strength to do that. And we'll talk again to you next week from Uganda.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it very much.
We're going to have to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to remind you of what our broadcast partners had to say. And then I'll open the Bible. We'll take a look at the book. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.